You're listening to Action Podcast with Chris Jansen and Gina Baxa. For a full archive of all of our podcasts and blogs, go to www.actionpodcast.com or leave us a comment on facebook.com/actionpodcast. Hey, Gina, it's been a few weeks since we've spoken. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Chris. I'm very good. And how are you? I think you've got some exciting news to share with our listeners.
Well, there's maybe two things. Yes, I had a fun time. Some of the listeners may have heard in previous podcasts talking about me taking on the challenge of doing an Ironman triathlon. And so, yes, successfully dragged myself around the course down in Mexico on the 27th of November, just last week, 2 weekends ago, I guess. Wow. And yeah, it was a good day. So I got back last week and surprised at how well my body's recovering, which is always a good sign.
Fantastic. Because you did this, I mean, maybe you just explain to listeners what the triathlon consists of, but you were out in Cozumel in Mexico, weren't you?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And what was your time for these three events?
Well, yeah, for those who don't know, it's a swim, bike, and run, all consecutively, back-to-back in the same day. And this is a long race. So the swim is 2.4 miles, and the bike is 112 miles, and then you get off the bike and you put on your running shoes and you run a marathon.
As you do, yes.
As you do. So, yeah, it's a big challenge. It's very becoming more and more popular every year, to some surprise, perhaps, to some. But, it took me just literally over 13 hours, 13 hours and 2 minutes. So it was a good day out in the sun.
That is an awesome result when you consider that some people take, 4 or 5 hours just to run a marathon and you were still standing at the end of it. That's congratulations. That's incredible. 13 hours.
I think Mother Nature had a cruel sense of humor because most of the race was in the hot, windy, humid air and sunshine. And then the skies opened up and it had torrential rain for about 45 minutes.
Oh my God.
And so part of our run was we were running through water that was about a foot and a half deep.
No way. Oh, what? And you still...
It wasn't the most pleasant running experience, running a marathon in water-soaked shoes. For sure.
I can imagine. Oh my God, even more credit to you then. Wow. Because it just amazes me. It's like that must take, obviously, a lot of mental preparation. Because if I, when I watch Ironman competitions, which I do, because I'm fascinated by, what you guys put yourselves through and how you achieve it. Was there ever a point where you were like that, where you kind of saw it on TV or live and thought, no way, not me?
Well, absolutely. That's quite literally what it was. As a guy who grew up in the 80s, watching lots of sports, as many who are involved in triathlon might know the story of, the legends of the sport. Two Americans, Mark Allen and Dave Scott, were at the top of the sport then. And I remember watching them on TV thinking there's no way I could ever do that. That amount of exercise, or those kind of events and that kind of a heat. Yeah. I just thought it was way beyond my capability, my skills, I suppose a bit of my interest at the time. But I just thought there's no way physically I could do that. But I've learned through not only doing that and through some of the other sports I've played and some of the marathons I've run that, our body's an amazing thing. And anybody can, if they're interested, can take on these challenges and with proper training and a little bit of effort and a little bit of consistency can absolutely not only just do it, but do it in a good time and have fun doing it as well.
Yeah, that is awesome. Do you think the mental preparation is more important than the physical, or are they both equally important?
They certainly are hard to separate. Some of our listeners might be aware that that's one of the other things I do alongside of Action Podcast is I coach triathletes on the mental side, and I help athletes prepare for their competitions and in their training get the most of their potential through my website at triathletemind.com. And so I've certainly done a lot of research in the area. I've worked with a lot of top class athletes in that area, and it definitely absolutely has an impact. And it's not just about sometimes it's characterized as the grit or determination or the perseverance of fighting through pain, etc. That's part of it, but really the bulk of it is in just like it is in life. It's the daily decisions you make. It's the habits that you create. It's the consistency to holding firm to your ambitions and your dreams. that really makes a difference between those that succeed and live up to their potential and those that underachieve.
Absolutely, because there must have been times during your training, or maybe not, but I can imagine with some people, they feel, that's it, you know, I give up. I really can't drag myself out of bed this morning to go and train. So what advice would you give listeners in that situation where they just feel like giving up and don't feel they're making any progress?
Well, I think specifically, again, I think the parallels very closely to general life, where just going through challenging times at your work, because sometimes you don't like getting up in the morning and going to work. But sometimes we lose sight of the bigger picture, and I think when you're trying to achieve something big and grand and maybe long term, like an Ironman, for example, when that alarm goes off first thing in the morning, sometimes you get into that conversation with yourself, like, I don't feel like I don't want to, I can't. But for me, and for a lot of the athletes I coach, sometimes it's just a matter of reconnecting with why you're doing it, reconnecting with the difference you're going to make in your job, or reconnecting with the excitement you're going to get when you achieve that goal. And sometimes that can be enough to put a little bit of a bounce in your step and realize that that it's going to be okay. You know, it's also another metaphor I often use is it's like looking at the stock market. You know, if you zoom in on an individual day, you can see it go up and down like crazy. And a lot of anxious investors. But if you zoom back and look at the big picture, you know, over the course of the last year, it's been on a steady incline. And sometimes when we forget to take that big picture, we kind of forget where we are on the path and realize that we are making progress and we are doing the right thing, even though some days you just don't feel like it.
Yeah, exactly. And what's obvious to me about any success in sport or work, wherever, there's got to be a passion for it. Your heart's got to be in it, I think.
Definitely.
Clearly, and if it isn't, then it's obviously time to stop and reassess and maybe look at something else.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, and that's absolutely reminded to me, a couple of times on the course. It was on the bike, you had to do three laps, and same thing on the run, you had to do three laps of the course. And the one thing that I've always it's a humbling reminder for me when I run marathons and when I've done the triathlons is to see who else is participating as well. Because I do think it's like you've said, as we've talked about before, even off air, is that it's, you know, from out the outside looking in, it looks like not only is it a massive accomplishment, but it's either a daunting or it's just like beyond comprehension. That you physically could do this. But every race I've ever been in, there are people there in wheelchairs. There are people there with one leg and a prosthetic leg.
Wow.
And I was reminded of that on the course. I passed a gentleman a couple times on the bike, and he kept passing me. He had one leg and one prosthetic leg with a shoe clipped on the bike. And another woman I saw, she didn't have... apologize if I don't have the correct term here, but she didn't have any of her left leg below the hip. So there was no leg at all, whereas the other gentleman had it down to his knee.
Oh my God.
And so she came out of the water and she swam the full 2.4 miles. She came out of the water and grabbed her crutches and made her way through and changed onto the bike. And I actually didn't see her on the bike. But I did see her on the run, and on the run, she sits in a customized one of those wheelchairs where you pedal with your hands.
Yeah.
So the point being is that and these people who are the real achievers, in my view, the real, you might want to use the word heroes even for people to look up to and admire, is that these are the people who've, you know, to the general population, have gone against all odds, have gone against the majority of people's beliefs on what is possible, have probably at times had to struggle more than anyone else through training and just the general logistics of keeping something like that up. And yet they do it. And it's just a great reminder to me that, you know, when people say there's no way I could, there's no way I could ever do that. There's no way. That's impossible. That's not enough for me. Now, if you're not interested, that's fine. I'm totally cool with that. But if there's something you want to do and you keep saying there's no way I could, There are too many examples of people that have persevered beyond the greatest odds to say that it's not about whether you can or can't. It's about whether you believe you will or you won't. And that's the greatest difference that makes the difference for people who really get out there and experience a full life and really enjoy a full life and achieve at the, not necessarily at the highest levels, but achieve at levels that stretch them beyond what most people think they are capable of.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, because I think we all doubt our abilities. I think there's so much more that we are capable of. And like you say, you know, people at the triathlon in Cozumel prove that point, as do countless other athletes and people that achieve against all odds. And it's very humbling to hear that, you know, when you think about just kind of day-to-day stuff that, you know, we might find challenging, or relationships or work-related things. But there's so much more we're capable of, and so much of it is about imagining that end result, I think, isn't it? That's certainly what gets me to my end result sometime. I keep that end result in mind. Even though there are ups and downs along the way, it's just like, I would imagine, although it's quite unlikely that I would ever do this, but if I was running a triathlon, then I would just keep imagining myself crossing that finishing line, you know, alive. I think that would be that would be my end result.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are certainly a variety of, I suppose, tools or tips or tactics or techniques you can use to kind of, you know, push yourself beyond what you think you're capable of. And I'm a big believer of doing whatever it takes, meaning throw your whole toolbox at it.
Absolutely.
So don't think that there is one silver bullet that's going to work for you, or it's not going to work for you all the time. You know, we need to keep things fresh, especially when we're stepping or stretching outside of our comfort zone.
Totally.
There are times where you need to be reminded of the big picture. There's times when you need to rest and recover and not do anything. There are times when you need to take some baby steps.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this is where coaching is so valuable in business or in daily life, and certainly in training, because you had a coach, didn't you, to help you motivate you through to this amazing end result.
Yeah, someone who put together the plan for me. It's not my, you know, my expertise is not in designing training plans. It's more on how to cope with the training plan you've got. But yeah, absolutely. It's, I think that the real message here for the listeners, and this is maybe a perfect time of year for this as well. You know, we're at the turn of a new year.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's a perfect time to think, well, what would I love to create for myself this year? Or what would I love to experience this year that is maybe a stretch for me? Something that I thought before I couldn't do, but I really would love to do it. I would love to experience it. For some people, it may be a simple 5K run, or creating another experience, or traveling somewhere abroad, or whatever it may be. But I certainly believe, and I am reinforced by this continuously, that we can always do more than we think we can. And I think that's a great thought when people are heading into a new year and thinking ahead to what they would love to do. And just, if you keep that thought in mind when you're actually putting down your plans, to say, well, if it's not really getting you excited or jazzed or getting juiced for getting up there and taking some action, then think, well, what more could I do? What extra little bit of excitement or challenge or ambition could I put in there that will really get me going?
Absolutely. Well, that's fantastic, Chris. We've run out of time, unfortunately, but I could listen to you talking about your triathlon all day. Well done. What a brilliant achievement.
Thank you very much. Well, and then the last thing I'll throw in, the second little announcement, excitement, was I just found out I'm going to be a torchbearer for the London Olympics.
Whoa! That is awesome.
Nothing to do with achievement in Ironman. It was just more of an application we put in, and just got the news today. So that's exciting news as well.
That is fantastic. Oh, God, I can't wait to see you run with that. Brilliant.
Yeah, me too.
Brilliant. Well done, Chris. What a great end of the year and start to 2012 for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Gina, well, lots more to talk about next time, and have a good rest of the day.
Fantastic. And you, Chris. Take care.
Okay, cheers. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.